So, I think this morning what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at something which I said that we'd look at a number of weeks ago, and we've been doing this series on discipleship. So if you haven't been here over the past few weeks, this is what we've been looking at this whole thing of discipleship and mainly things like, for instance, the call of discipleship, how God broke into our lives and transformed us and pulled us from where we once were to where we are now. And he's done that since the very first disciples, where God called those people and he rescued them and he pulled them out of their just ordinary lives, but lives which were distant from God. He pulled them out, rescued them, and put them on this journey of discipleship, of following Jesus. We looked at things like the covenant of discipleship, how God has given us these great promises in his word. One of them was about the Holy Spirit, which we are going to be looking at today. But also we looked at other things like the cost of discipleship, that there is a cost in following Jesus. Hey, we know that, don't we? There's a cost involved. Sometimes it's really tough. Sometimes it's really hard. And we know that through reading the Bible. But other things we've looked at are the characteristics of discipleship, the commands of discipleship. I think the last one we looked at was the community of a disciple. How, as a follower of Jesus, we are called to outwork and live this life as a disciple in community, together, as brothers and sisters in Christ. You cannot do it alone. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and it's just me and Jesus type thing. We have to be in community. And this morning, I think it'd be really good for us to take that. And the last one that I've want us to look at is what it means to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. What I've called this is the comfort and courage of a disciple. Now, I mentioned it a few weeks ago regarding the covenant of discipleship, about the promises of God to help us and equip us in this life. But I really want to focus in on this this morning, about the need, the absolute need of the Holy Spirit in your life as a disciple of Jesus. You cannot live this life unless you are filled with the Spirit of God in your life to empower you, to enable you, to equip you in your life. There's a lot of talk recently about electric cars. You'll see it on the news. And some of you have electric cars. Some of you may be considering to buy an electric car. I went out on one Friday night, actually. Dave and Jess have got a little electric motor. And Dave was taking me to football, gave me a lift. It sounded like... a milk float coming down the road, but really cool, really quiet, really lovely, very nice indeed. It was really great, actually. But these cars, they only run, and as all cars do, for a certain amount of time, and then they have to be recharged, plugged back in. Now, let's say, for instance, let's say I had an electric car, and I said to you, hey, I want to show you this electric car that I've got, and I take you out for a ride in it. And as we're going along, the power gradually decreases, and we come to a halt. And I get out, and I say, hey, don't worry. And you're thinking, well, we've run out of power. I say, don't worry, I can charge it off my iPhone. Or, don't worry, I've got a battery in my watch. I reckon I'll be able to plug this in. You'd be thinking, you're nuts, and I would be completely disillusioned. And the reason why is because the power need would far outweigh the power source. The need for huge amounts of power, I wouldn't be able to give from an iPhone or a watch. And I believe there are many disciples of Jesus who genuinely love God, who want to live for him, But they are looking to live their lives on the power source of their own strength and not in God's strength. They're looking to live their life, as it were, looking to be charged from a watch rather than being plugging into the mains, the main network of power, unlimited power. And I think there are many disciples, aren't there, who live like this. You may be thinking, yeah, this is me, I know it. You don't need to tell me. Relying on my own strength, trying to get through in my own strength, trying to get through in my own power. And that's why so many believers can get disillusioned, get weary, get fed up, get cynical, because they are constantly trying to run their lives on their own strength, rather looking to within rather than to looking above and drawing strength from God, from the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And it may be that you yourself are here this morning, and as a believer, you are feeling weary. You are feeling weary in the sense that the situations that you're going through are causing you to just be tired. You're just weary of life, the constant stuff happening to you, just feeling tired and weary. You may be worried, where anxiety has crept in and has caused you to doubt God. And you may be feeling weak as well, where you're lacking faith, that spiritual zeal to do things that you once used to do, witnessing, praying, seeking God, reading the Bible, all of those things, but you don't have that energy to do that. You just feel weak. And that may be because you're trying to draw on your own strength, your own power, rather than looking above and seeking God. And if that is you, don't try to battle on. Don't try to battle on. Don't try to keep on. I just got to keep on going, drawing on my own strength. Don't do that. But look to God instead. Now, this morning I want us to look at a passage from Scripture. If you want to turn to the book of John, chapter 14. Book of John, chapter 14. And we'll start at verse 15. And it says this: if you love me, this is Jesus saying to the disciples, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, and they belong to the Father. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Amen. That's the passage that we are looking at this morning. Some of those verses you'll recognize. We've looked at fairly recently. But I want to see that from this passage, that this passage of Scripture, that the promise Jesus gives to the disciples is also for us. Now, just to give you a bit of background in the run-up to this passage, what's happening there now, the book of John, we all know, is very different from the other books of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a very, what they call a very spiritual book, in the sense of Matthew, Mark, and Luke deal with a lot of the practical stuff, the what Jesus did, where he went, him speaking, and lots of things like that. What we find in the book of John is half of the book of John deals with the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, just before the crucifixion and the resurrection. It deals with a huge chunk of that. And we see in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 a huge dialogue from Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's going in depth and encouraging them and speaking to them. He's already spoken to them about how, and displayed to them about loving one another and serving one another. He washes the disciples' feet. He tells them that one is going to betray them. He says that, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. He gives them a new command. In John 13, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then he says to Peter that, Peter, you're going to fall away. You're going to betray me and disown me. And you can understand the disciples being in a bit of a state here, because, you know, one is going to drift off. One is going to betray him. Jesus is going to die. It looks like, wow, this is great. This is why it says in John 14, right at the beginning, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He's like saying, I've told you all this. This is going to happen, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And he gives them those words of confidence. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he comes to the passage that we have just read out this morning, which first of all deals with the whole issue of obedience coming from love. Okay? Obedience coming from love. So in verse 15, it says, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And this is really important to what we're looking at regarding the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Now, this sentiment, this truth, if you love me, you will obey what I command, is mentioned quite a few times in the Bible. Okay, it's mentioned quite a few times. And for instance, in John 14:21, again, we've read it this morning, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Then later on, just two verses later, verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. What Jesus is saying here is that obedience to follow Jesus, it comes from a deep love for Jesus. We obey Jesus because we love him. Okay, that's why we obey him. If you truly love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have within you a desire to obey him, to live according to his word, to live your life out saying, whatever this says, I want to live according to it because I love you, Jesus. I recognize that you saved me. You changed my life. You've forgiven me of all my sin. I want to live according to your word. What we see in the world, though, is many other areas where obedience comes from. It can either come from fear, and it also can come from duty. So, for instance, if there was a slave master shouting commands to a slave, then the slave would obey out of fear. Okay, I will obey you because I might get a beating if I don't obey you. That's obedience out of fear. Or it could be out of duty. Maybe like an employer asks an employee to do something. Well, they do it because they're paid. They're under contract. Yes, I will obey you because you're my boss. But we obey out of love. We don't obey out of fear. We obey out of love. Like how a child should obey their parent. They know their parent will only want what is best for them. And the child will obey out of respect and a desire to please their parent. So we too as disciples should have this desire in us. We want to obey Jesus because we know that Jesus has what's the very best for us. He knows he has our best intentions for us, the best plan for our life. So that's why we obey Jesus, because we know intrinsically that Jesus is good. He's pure. He's holy. He never wants us to call us to do bad things or things that lead to bad things, but it's always for our good. So he says here, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So what are his commands? Well, if we look back in the just a few verses before, maybe the chapter before, we see his commands. We see what Jesus says to his disciples then. For instance, he commanded the disciples to wash one another's feet. An expression of love, to serve, humility. This is what Jesus commanded his disciples to do. Do this, I'll show you, I'll lead by example. I'll wash your feet. I'll humble myself. I will serve you. He also commanded them to love one another. John 13, 34. He commanded to love one another and after the pattern of his love to them. He also commanded them to put their faith in God. And we see that right in our very first verse, John 14, verse 1. To put their faith in God. Trust in him. That's what we're commanded to do. So Jesus was saying to his disciples, make sure your heart is right. Make sure that when you're following Jesus, and this applies to us today, that make sure that when you're following Jesus, that you have this attitude of, I want to obey you, Jesus. I want to obey your word. I want to live my life before you. I open my life to the word of God and say, whatever that says, I want to apply my life to it. I just want to submit myself to the word of God, to God's commands. Why? So that I can be better positioned to receive from God. Because the other option is, I don't want to obey you, Jesus. Because there's only two options here. Let's be brutally honest about this. There's two options. We want to obey, or we say, no, I don't want to obey. I don't like what it says. That's a bit too hard. That's a bit too harsh. Don't want to do that. I like my life. I want to do what I want to do. That's the attitude we can have. That's not a good attitude to have when it comes to following Jesus, because Jesus can't really work in our lives if we're not submitting to him and saying, hey, have your way in me. Have your way in me. I will bow the knee to you. Whatever you say, I'll do. I want to follow you. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, make sure your heart is right so that you can be better positioned to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, you can't receive from God if you're not in obedience to God. You can't receive. It's impossible to receive from God if you are saying, no, God, I don't want to do that. Blow that. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. But, hey, I want to receive some blessing as well. It doesn't work that way. It's best to submit yourself to God. Say, oh God, whatever way you want, just lead me on. I want to follow you. I want to be obedient to you. Then God can do a great work in your life. God will pour out his spirit upon you. God will strengthen you and bless you and help you. And surely we love Jesus. And if we love Jesus, we want to obey him in everything. So the question arises, is there any area of your life where you are not in obedience to him? Just have a think about that for a moment. Is there any area in your life where you know you're not in obedience to him? Maybe it's in regards to loving one another. Maybe it's in regards to humbling yourself to somebody else. Maybe pride has crept in. Maybe doubt has crept in. It was Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary to China, who said, God cannot, will not, does not bless those who are living in disobedience, but only set out in the path of obedience. And at once, before one stone is laid upon another, God is eager, as it were, to pour out his blessing. We need to be a people who position ourselves before God in obedience, humbling ourselves, saying, God, I want to receive from you, and I want to do all I can to position myself well, correctly, and so get my heart right and be obedient to you. It was 1 John 5:3 where it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So many people think, to obey all those commands, so heavy, so full on. No, his commands are not burdensome. But we obey because we love. Now this brings me on to the next verse, where in verse 16 of our passage, it says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. And what I want to look at this is that what I've called is the Spirit is given by God. In one translation it says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The New Living Translation version puts it like this, give you another advocate. My version uses the word counselor. Your version may say something different. The word used for counselor or helper in that particular verse, in verse 16, is the Greek word parakletos, or parakletos. It's where we get the word paraclete from the Greek. And it's quite a tricky word because it has several different overlapping meanings. And that's why your translation will say something different from maybe somebody else's translation. But it basically means one who pleads another cause before a judge, a counsel for defense, a legal assistant or advocate. But it also means an intercessor. One who goes before another to plead their case. But in a wider sense, it means a helper, an assistant, a comforter. As Naomi prayed this morning, she prayed about God coming alongside. Well, that's what the word means, to come alongside. The counselor, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit comes alongside, helps us and equips us, enables us. In this case of the Holy Spirit, it means someone to lead them to a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth and give them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of God's kingdom. The disciples needed the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They needed that another to come alongside them to equip them and strengthen them. And this is massively encouraging for all the disciples and for all of us as well. This is a promise from Jesus to his disciples that he will not leave them or abandon them. Okay? The word, this word, parakletos, is only used five times in the Bible, four times in the book of John, once in 1 John. And the one time in 1 John, it refers to Jesus being the intercessor. But all the other times in this chunk of scripture, is to do with the Holy Spirit, to do with the Counselor, to do with the Comforter, to the one who comes alongside us. And Jesus is saying, basically, to his disciples, if you can imagine the scene, they're all around him. He's saying, look, I will be going. I'm going away. I'm going to the Father. I'm departing. I'm leaving you. But I want you to know this. I'm not abandoning you. I'm not leaving you alone. We must draw great comfort from this. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Oh, that's heartening, isn't it? He's gone on before us to prepare a place for us, and his promise to his disciples is to say, one day I'm going to come back for you. That's really reassuring. He's gone away to prepare a place for us, and one day he's going to come back for us. But his promise is that in between time, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us. Like it says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. He's saying, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Now, an orphan is someone whose parents have died. And without parents, then an orphan might feel lacking in the area of provision, because it's a parent that provides safety, guidance, love, stability, nurture, teaching you what is right, what is wrong, all of those things. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. And that speaks to us, because sometimes we can get a bit that feeling of feeling abandoned, feeling like, oh, you know, what's going to happen? And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave his orphans devoid of security, devoid of hope, devoid of safety, provision. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan devoid of that awareness of God's love. No, I am going to give you my Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, part of the Godhead. No, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit, and he is going to do all these. He's going to be like I am to you. Jesus is saying to his disciples then, he's going to be exactly like I am to you, to all the other believers, to us as well. He was saying that, Jesus says, unless he goes, the advocate will not come. He says that in John 16:7. Jesus said it was for our good that he was going away, so that the Holy Spirit can come. Now, last week, we looked at the story of the disciples, and they were in the upper room, and it was just after Jesus was raised from the dead, but they're afraid. Why are they afraid? Because they're afraid of the Jews, what the Jews might do to them, so they locked themselves away. And we saw that wonderful picture of Jesus suddenly appearing to them in that room. And amongst their fear and their terror, Jesus appears. What happens in the space of a verse? They were overjoyed. They were overjoyed because Jesus had come. Same with Thomas. Thomas was doubting. Thomas was like, nah, unless I see Jesus in the flesh, unless I see his wounds, unless I actually touch his wounds, then I won't believe. He was full of doubt, yet in a moment, Jesus turns up, and in an instant, that doubt had turned to, oh, my Lord and my God. In a moment, my Lord and my God. Why? Because Jesus was there. And what Jesus is saying is this has an application for us, because when we go through those times of being fearful, when we are in those times of being doubtful, Jesus in person won't rock up and make himself visible to us, but he has given us his Holy Spirit, who comes into our very presence and says, I will remind you, I'm here, the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. By Jesus going, all those who believe in him and are his disciples can receive the help of the Holy Spirit to help them in their life. help you when times are tough, and those moments where, have you ever had those moments when a verse just pops into your mind, or the rough workings of a Bible verse pops into your mind, and you think, oh yeah, oh, that's so reassuring. You think, where did that come from? Well, first of all, you put it in there, okay? You read it. This is why we always say about reading God's Word. Just load yourself up with God's Word. Consume God's Word. Because then what can happen is the Holy Spirit can all of a sudden remind you. This is why we read and study the Word of God. So in those moments, the Holy Spirit can just bring to light. When you're praying for somebody and you're praying for God's help, and all of a sudden a verse might pop to mind. How does that happen? Who did that? Who brought that to mind? Holy Spirit working in you, reminding you of God's Word. He's called here the Spirit of Truth. So when we are in the storms, when we're doubting, when we're fearful, when we don't understand, when we do things wrong, okay, the Holy Spirit, He convicts of sin. He is that counselor, the advocate, the one who comes alongside, so we are never alone in our Christian walk. So all of this thing we've been talking about, discipleship and living for Jesus, you cannot do without the enabling and equipping power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're like trying to charge your discipleship life just by drawing on the battery of self. You cannot do it. You will feel weary. You will feel worried, and you will feel weak. All of those things, when you rely on yourself to get you through your situations and your problems and your fear and your troubles, all of those things, you need God's help. And Jesus says, I haven't left you abandoned as orphans. I've given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. You know that. We see that in Acts 10. And God Acts 10, I believe it is in. Acts 10, where Peter is talking about Jesus. And he says, Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. It goes on. And how he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So what we see here is Jesus filled, anointed with the Holy Spirit. What was Jesus able to do? He was able to heal, go out and touch people's lives. Why? Because God was with him. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to do God's work in God's power and have that sense, God is with me. God is with me. That's why we always say, hey, in the morning, when you get up in the morning, you've read the Word of God, pray, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit so that I can be equipped to live this life that you've called me to live. So just lastly, and we're going to finish soon, because I just want us to have a moment where we can call out to God and say, God, fill me afresh. But we do need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're a disciple here this morning, you need to be filled. You need to be filled afresh today. It says in verse 19 of our passage, it says, soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. We know that. We've just celebrated Easter. Because Jesus lives, we also live. We have resurrection life in us. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The wonderful beauty of the Trinity, and the wonderful complexity of that, but we're seeing the Holy Spirit poured out into our lives so that Christ is in us, we are in Christ, Christ is in his Father, and we have this wonderful power, enabling power of the Holy Spirit to live the life that we have been called to live. This is how we are linked to Jesus, because he lives in us. So now, rather than feeling the... and if you've tried to live any moment of your life, your Christian life, not depending on God, you know that it's really easy to get weak and worried and weary. But when a believer is filled with the Spirit of God, you will know the peace of God, you will know the power of God, and you will know the promise of God. What I mean by that is the peace of God, knowing that God is with you. You're not alone. You're not abandoned as an orphan. You're not an orphan because God is your Heavenly Father. That's a wonderful truth to carry around with you today. But also, not only peace, but power as well. Just like Jesus was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit to do good works, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit to live, to pray, and to bring the kingdom. But also, promise. The Holy Spirit brings confirmation that you are God's child. His Spirit connecting with God's Spirit. I'm his child. I'm not abandoned. I'm not on my own. God loves me. God's for me. Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for me, and one day he's coming back. All of what we have spoken about this morning is so important for every believer to know. Because if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, then you are just, it's impossible. You cannot do it. The thing is, I'd imagine every single one of us has tried to do it at some point in our lives. We've tried to just get through. Oh, no, I don't need a quiet time. I don't need to press into God. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to do that. I can just do it myself because I feel pretty good about myself today. And that may be the case. But when those storms come, boy, oh boy. Hey, we know it's the truth. When those storms come, what do we do? Oh God, God, help me. God, pour out your Spirit upon me.